Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hello, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all as we dive into the Word of God and we look at the healing of the blind man at the end of Luke chapter 18 and how his faith made him well. Okay, let's pray and let's get on with this broadcast. Father in heaven, I ask that you'll bless everyone who listens to this broadcast, that the word of God may be clear to them. They will understand faith, truth, and healing, and that your grace and power will be unleashed through my words today. Open our spiritual eyes and spiritual ears that we may understand wonderful things according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, if you're out there, grab your Bibles, pens, and notebooks, because here at Insights for Eternity, we teach those who teach others. Let's read the passage. Luke 18, verses 35 to 43. Luke chapter 18, verses 35 to 43. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging, and hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by," and he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Okay, what's happening here? And we'll start a little way back and we'll move forward. At the end of this section, Jesus says to him, "Recover your sight, your faith has made you well." And what did the blind man cry out? "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." So, what's going on? God is having mercy, and the blind man is having faith. Let's repeat that. God is having mercy, and the blind man is having faith, and this faith results in him being healed. That's what he gets. When Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" he said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." So, here we have God's grace and the man's faith, and God does something for the man, the blind man, and he recovers his sight. This pattern is the pattern of the New Testament. This is how everything happens in the New Testament. Everything is by grace through faith. For you are saved, not of your own works, but by grace through faith. And that is the work of God in your life, and eventually you give glory to God. So how were you saved? How did you come from darkness to light? You prayed to God for mercy. You prayed for him to forgive your sins. And your faith reached out to God. And as your faith reached out to God, you laid hold of the salvation that's in Jesus Christ. It became yours, and you went from darkness to light. Well, what happened when you believed? You passed from darkness to light. You passed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. You were born again. You received eternal life. You received forgiveness of your sins. You received all the glory that God has for you. And eventually, as you persist, you will receive a resurrection body and you will receive a reward in heaven. All these things happened because you believed and because God is merciful and he's done everything already in Christ. So when Christ died, you died with him. When Christ rose, you rose with him. When Christ ascended into heaven, you ascended into heaven with him, and all these things are accessible through faith. You see, the spiritual things cannot be earned. We learn that in Acts chapter 8 when Simon Magus tries to purchase the Holy Spirit, and Simon Peter says, may your money perish with you, because the things of God cannot be bought. They can't be bought, they can't be earned, they cannot be dug out of the ground, they cannot be got from a book. All the things of God come by grace through faith. They become through mercy through faith. God has mercy, and God has grace, and the heavenly things are ready because of the promises of God. They're ready, they're stored up in heaven for us. All the blessings in the spiritual realms are ours. So all the blessings are there, God's grace is there, God's mercy is there, the things we want are there, and we have to receive them through faith. You see, the Old Testament is about be good, and this has happened to you. The New Testament doesn't do that. It's not based on law. It's not based on earning the benefits of God. Rather, it is through promise by faith. It's the promises of God become ours, the precious promises according to Peter 2, Peter chapter 1. We receive all we need for life and godliness through the precious promises of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be yours. So God's heavenly blessings meant that healing was available for the blind man. When God had mercy and the blind man had faith, he was healed. Now, if God refuses to show mercy, then that's a terrible thing. He couldn't be healed. But Jesus had mercy. He cried out, Jesus, have mercy on me, because Jesus is always merciful. He is our kind and merciful high priest in the heavenly realms who understands us. I read the book of Hebrews, who had in chapter 4 and 5 and so on. It talks about the high priesthood of Jesus Christ, who ever lives to make intercession for us, because we are weak, we are misguided. So the mercy of God is always available for those who believe. That's the reason for the cross. God so much wants to show you mercy and grace that he came to earth, he died a horrible death on a cross and rose from the dead so that you might have access to all the promises of God simply by truly believing. So in the New Testament, everything is by believing and receiving. That's why it says if you pray, stand and believe, and then you will receive. If you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. And a classic example of this is James's instructions in James chapter 1. He says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and it will be given to him, because God gives without reproach. So the wisdom's available. It's in the heavenly realms. It's waiting for you to download it into your mind, your heart, and your body. So you're there. The wisdom is available to you, not because you're smart, but because the cross of Jesus Christ has provided eternal spiritual wisdom for you in all aspects of your life. It's there. It's a heavenly provision. And you need to lay hold of the heavenly provision, not because you are good, but because you have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You can say to yourself, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus by faith, and the heavenly promises are mine. And you can lay hold of the spiritual things that you want. As just as the blind man laid hold of healing, and his eyes were open, and he went along the road praising God. So that's the dynamic for the blind man. He cries out to God. God has mercy. He believes, and as he believes, he receives, and his faith has made him well. Some will say, but that was the sovereign work of God. Jesus doesn't say it was the sovereign work of God. Jesus says, your faith has made you well. What question did Jesus ask the blind man? He said, what do you want me to do for you? That's the question that Jesus asked the blind man. And the blind man asked something that was technically impossible for man to do. He said, I want to recover my sight. He'd heard the stories about Jesus. He knew that Jesus healed. He knew that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he said, no, he's not going to pass me by. This moment is not going away. God is going to touch my life. I will cry out. I will make a nuisance of myself until I get all that God has for me. And he did that. He believed. He cried out. He saw his moment. He got ready. His faith cried out to God, Jesus, Son of David, which means Messiah. He was acknowledging that Jesus is Messiah and Lord. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus performed a miracle that is only associated with the Messiah in traditional Jewish thought. That's opening the eyes of the blind. So that was one of the ways the Jews knew he was the Messiah, because he went around opening the eyes of the blind. The great miracles that were not recorded in the Old Testament were being done by Jesus. And this was a demonstration of his messianic reality. So he has faith. He is ready. He is believing that God can do the impossible in his life. And God can do the impossible in your life as your heart and mind and spirit are ready, and you reach out and you make contact with God. You connect with God just like the blind man connected with Jesus. Now, the blind man's reaching out. He's reaching out for all that God has for him. He's reaching out, and what's happening to him? Everyone's pushing him away. They're saying, you're a low status person. You're a beggar. You're a nuisance. God has nothing for you. And that's what the world, the flesh, and the devil tell us. The world, flesh, and the devil say, God has nothing for you. You're unimportant. You're this, you're that, you're the other. Well, that's a lie. You're not unimportant to God. A blind beggar was not unimportant to Jesus. And all around the world, there are beggars crying out day and night in the slums of India, in places in Uganda and Nairobi. There's beggars in every country of the world. Even here in the United States, there are people begging on the streets in some places. Where I was in Los Angeles, it was very common for homeless people to be sitting on a street corner begging for money, because things are so expensive here. They could not afford their daily food, or they had problems in their life, or that they're disabled in some way and they couldn't access the system. So they're begging on the corner streets. They are everywhere. People in the need are everywhere. Well, why are they in need in the first place? Many people who are in need are there to test our reactions to them. In other words, when we see the poor, do we help them? Do we see those who are without clothes? Do we clothe them? When we find Christians in prison, do we visit them? As we go through life, the disabled are testing us if we are going to help them. The suffering are testing us whether we will encourage them. Around and around we go, facing people in difficulty every day, and God is calling us to help them to go to Jesus, just like the disciples did in the end. People were pushing the blind man away, and eventually the disciples, under the command of Jesus, obey Jesus and bring the blind man to the Lord, and the Lord heals him. You've got a choice. You can be the people that push people away from God, or you can be among the people that bring people to God, so God's mercy can be had upon them. And let's hope that you're among those who bring people to Christ, so God's work can be done in their life and they can experience the miracles and power of God. You see, you are not unimportant, and neither is anyone else. The lepers were not unimportant to Jesus. The AIDS victims are not unimportant to Jesus. Women who are immoral and cast out, like the woman at the well, were not unimportant to Jesus. Everyone made in the image of God is important to Jesus, and he wants to have mercy on them. Just think of Legion, who had all these demons in him, and he lived in a Gentile area across in the Decapolis, and he lived in the area of the Gerasenes, and Jesus saw and understood this man's great spiritual torment, and he went all the way across there, through that storm, across that lake, to minister to one man who everyone else feared, who everyone else thought was mad, who ran around naked and in chains. And Jesus knew this one man needed God. He needed the mercy of God. He needed the salvation of God. He needed the help of God. And Jesus said, this man is important. So here's blind Bartimaeus crying out, or the blind man in Jericho, who I think is also Bartimaeus, crying out to Jesus. And Jesus says, come here. I will help you. I will have mercy on you. Your faith will make you well. So you see, we want to be the people that lift up other people and take them to Jesus, because Jesus cares for everybody. He cares for the homeless. He cares for the poor. He cares for the needy. He also cares for the rich and the powerful. He cares for the people that need to come to God and need to forsake their possessions and walk away from all their riches and status so they can inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus cares for all people from all walks of life. And he wants you to experience God. He wants you to experience all that God has for you. So why don't we experience the things that the blind man experienced? Why don't we experience the mercy, salvation, and miraculous power of God? And the answer is because we do not believe. We think we have to earn it. We think we have to be very, 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 very good at church and this and that and the other, have our life totally together, and then God might just do a miracle for us because we are good boys or good girls and we totally deserve it. But we do not accomplish anything by our own good works. God wants us to do good works, but they won't get us a miracle. There's many nice people have never had a miracle in their life because they do not believe. They do not believe that God's power is available for them right now. They don't understand the believing and receiving mechanism of the New Testament. Everything is given to you by God. If you want love, ask God. He will fill your heart with love. If you want wisdom, ask God. He will fill your mind with wisdom. If you want peace of mind and heart, ask God, and he will fill you with peace. Pray to the Lord. I believe that I am receiving the perfect peace of God right now. Try it, even on this broadcast. Put out your hands and say, I believe that I am receiving the perfect peace of God right now. I believe that I am receiving the perfect peace of God right now. I believe that I am receiving the perfect peace of God right now. In Jesus' name, amen. And God will fill you with the perfect peace of God because it's not by earning. It's not by all this huffing and puffing and seven steps. It's by believing and receiving. And you can believe and receive Christ into your life in all his fullness. You can believe and receive eternal life. And it even says that you can believe and receive more and more of the Holy Spirit. And that's Luke 11:13, where Jesus says, how much more will he give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You want more of the Holy Spirit? Pray for it now. Pray for it during this broadcast. Say, Lord, I believe that I am receiving more and more of the Holy Spirit right now. I am being filled with the Holy Spirit right now because it's God's will in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe that I am receiving more and more of the Holy Spirit right now because it's God's will for me in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe that I am receiving more and more of the Holy Ghost because it is God's will for me to be filled with the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. And you see, it's believing, it's receiving, it's taking the heavenly things that are already yours in Christ Jesus, the things that have been purchased by the cross of Jesus Christ, fullness of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, healing, all the things that you need, wisdom in your relationships, wisdom in your family. You can download them from heaven into your life by grace through faith. But you must believe. You must believe that God wants to have mercy on you. You must believe that God wants to heal you. You must believe that God is not just some abstract spirit in the sky, but God is saying to you right now, what do you want me to do for you? If Jesus was to stand before you right now and say, what do you want me to do for you? What would you ask? You might ask, I ask you, Lord, to heal my husband. And that's what you can ask God by faith to do, and God will heal your husband. You might ask, God, I want to have a child. I'm married. I've been all these years. We have not been able to conceive a child. And then God will hear your prayer, and you, as you believe, you will conceive just like Sarah did at the proper time. Because the things of heaven are yours. They're downloaded out of the spiritual realms and within the will of God. Now, let me just add that. I can't go and ask for the winning lottery ticket numbers because I don't think that's the will of God for my life. I can't believe and download Buckingham Palace. I can't say, I believe I'm receiving Buckingham Palace and it'll be mine. No, that's ridiculous. It belongs to the King of England, not to me. I cannot covet someone else's possessions. I cannot covet their house, their land, their wife, their children, or their palace, or whatever. I cannot do that. That would be coveting, and I am not allowed to covet. So I can't go and ask for super jets or whatever and whatever, diamond tiaras. That is just gross materialism. That is greed. That is covetousness. God has not given us faith so that we can be covetous. We are there to claim the spiritual things of Christ Jesus. The invisible things of the kingdom of God are ours, whether they be physical healing or joy in the spirit or greater faith or the ability to speak in tongues or the ability to cast out demons. We pray and we ask God, is this your will? Is this your ministry? Have you called me to this? And we can believe and receive the things of the kingdom of God, not the things of this world, not the things that will destroy our soul, not the things that will make us proud and puffed up and childish. We're not there to grab toys from God. We're there to grab eternal truth from God, to know the wisdom of God, the power of God, the joy of God, the hope of God. And when you are feeling hopeless, and I was feeling hopeless, about a year ago, I think, I was feeling hopeless in my ministry. I thought it had come to an end, that I was too old. No one was going to take any notice of me anymore. And so I prayed, Lord, give me hope. Lord, give me hope. I believe that I am receiving hope from God for the rest of my life. And suddenly things started to change. And now things are starting to come to happen. And I feel like I'm being moved back into service. I am being reactivated by God because I believe that I still had hope even at the age of 67. So God has hope. God has power. God has grace for your life. God wants to move you into higher things and greater things that are spiritual things, that are things of the kingdom and things that are full of grace and truth. We're not talking about nonsense. We're not saying that God is going to make you president of the United States. We don't think that God's going to make this or that for you. We're talking about the things of the kingdom of God, which are necessary, the true eternal things of life that Jesus has. And in the case of the blind man, God had mercy. God was kind. Jesus was interested even in a blind beggar. And soon the person that the world had rejected this blind beggar at Jericho. The world had despised him. The world did not want this beggar to come to Jesus. They thought that he was too far gone, that he didn't have any use on the face of the earth. And Jesus said, yes, you do have a use on the face of the earth. You're going to bring glory to God. You're going to glorify God, and other people will glorify God because of you, because I will heal your eyes through my mercy and your faith. So here, God had stirred up faith in this man's heart. He knew that Jesus was going to heal him. He knew that this was his moment. And he was not going to let the moment pass him by. He was going to grab hold of God. He was going to exercise his faith. And I call on you to exercise your faith now, to raise up your faith now, not to let go of the promises of God, not to let go of the new covenant, not to let go of all the things that God has purchased for you with his blood. For it is by his great and precious promises that you enter the kingdom of God. You enter into a state of blessings, of peace of mind, of joy, of hope, of gentleness, of meekness, of kindness, of all the kingdom truths that God has for you, and all the things that God wants to, astonishing things that God wants to do in your life. And here, God did an astonishing thing for this blind man. What man could not accomplish, what no one thought would be possible, Jesus did for the blind man. And he had mercy on the blind man. And he says, what do you want me to do for you? And if God's standing before you now and saying, what do you, right now, what do you want me to do for you? How can I have mercy on you? Because God's mercy and grace is always available. He tells us that we have a high priest in the heavenly realms and we can come to God for grace and mercy in time of need. And that's what the blind man did. He needed grace. He needed mercy. He was in need, and Jesus came and gave him grace and mercy, and he believed and he received. You see, grace and mercy are available to you. And when you believe, you will receive. If you're not yet saved, if you haven't yet believed in Jesus, now's the time. Say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Forgive my sins, make me a Christian, and fill me with the Holy Ghost. If you're not yet saved, pray this prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, Have mercy on me, a sinner. Forgive my sins. Make me a Christian. And fill me with the Holy Ghost to the glory of God. Pray that. Cry out to God. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Forgive my sins. Make me a Christian. And fill me with the Holy Ghost to the glory of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Cry that out right now on this radio program. Get right with God. And if you're a Christian but you haven't been exercising your faith much, if you've been running in little circles of routines, if your unbelief has caught up with you, repent of your unbelief. Turn back. Believe that God has mighty things for you, not because you're good, but because the cross is powerful. It is the power of God unto salvation. All the good things in the heavenly realms are already yours in Christ Jesus, not because you have earned them, but because Christ has bought them for you, and they are available to you by faith. As you believe, you will receive all the good things in the heavenly realms that God has for you, and you'll get the whole package. You'll get everything. With Christ, you get everything. You won't just get a little bit, you'll get a lot. Believe on all the treasures that God has for you, the righteousness of God in Christ, eternal life, a resurrection body, love, joy, peace, wisdom, goodness, kindness, all the things that you need to manifest in your life if you're to have a great life. If you lack concentration, you say, I'm always distracted. Pray for the Lord. Say, I believe I'm receiving the ability to concentrate on my work and to do my work well. Anything you like that's of a spiritual nature, God can give it to you. God can give you healing. God can give you wisdom. God can give you strength. God can give you success in your line of work. God can show you the things that you need to do to be excellent as a worksman and a craftsman of Christ Jesus. Just as God filled Bezalel in the Old Testament with the ability to make all sorts of things for the Ark of the Covenant and for the temple and the tabernacle, God can fill you and make you as excellent as Joseph or Daniel. God is at work. All those spiritual things are available. They are not out of your reach. They came to a blind beggar in Jericho, and they can come to you right now because God is interested in you. God loves you. God's asking you right now, he's asking you this one question, what do you want me to do for you? You might need to be saved. You might say, Lord, I need to be saved. Someone else will say, Lord, I need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Someone else would say, I need forgiveness. My relationships are a mess. Whatever it is, what the Lord has for you is available in Christ Jesus. Receive it by faith. Glory in God. Study this passage. This is Pastor John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.